Lynette Blossom-Deary delighted audiences with her tasty piano playing, hip vocal interpretations, and sly humor. Today, as part of our 20th anniversary, we're revisiting my 2004 conversation with Blossom. I admired Blossom's music and her insistence on having exactly the career she wanted. There weren't as many women jazz musicians in 2004 as there are now, so it was especially enjoyable for me to talk to one of the few who'd made a success of it. Blossom insisted people refrain from smoking in the room she played, back when it seemed everyone smoked, and was producing her own CDs long before that was common. She was also the only person I've had on the show who asked that we not talk about certain subjects. Number one, bad audiences. And number two, a particular singer who had gained enormous popularity in large part from modeling herself on Blossom's repertoire and arrangements. I'm sure these directions came up a lot, and she headed this off in case these tiresome subjects might be part of our conversation. Blossom was one of a kind, and definitely one of my favorites. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. Blossom felt there's less humor in music these days, but believed audiences want it during a performance.
They are just delighted. They love any humor at all, so they can relax and relax. That's the thing, you know. Not only listen to the music, but the comedy adds another dimension to the music.
Mm.
Thank you.
yourself to that place over and over, you've been doing this a long time, to sing lyrics that you've sung many, many times, but with the kind of feeling that you bring to it?
I just learn it, and it comes automatically. And the response I get, that feedback from the audience, is so wonderful.
Mm.
My audiences are fantastic. They're really very, hip. You know, I mean, they understand music, they love the melodies, they appreciate the words, and they appreciate the bass and the drums and the trio and everything. We get compliments that it's just amazing.
Mm. Do you prefer a small room to a big house?
No, I like theaters, you know. I feel very comfortable around 750 people to 1,000.
Mm.
I haven't worked any larger than that, but that's all right.
But you like small or big? Doesn't make you focus differently?
No, not at all.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. You made me listen to Sophisticated Ladies. That's the first time I heard you here in New York. And you started that tune, and I thought, I've heard this tune 100 times. And you sang it, and I cried.
Really?
I did. It was a really moving experience for me, and it was the first time I heard you in person. And I don't sing, but I really thought about how someone sings a tune like that that's so known and brings that emotion to it.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't think about it. You just sing the tune, and you're in that place.
That's right. I just picked the song because I like it. I like the melody, and I like the words. And people say, which comes first? Well, of course, the melody has to be. I'm sure the same applies to you. If you don't like the music, then, I wouldn't play a song where I didn't like the music. But the lyrics are the other 50%. I mean, the lyrics have to be good. So it's half and half, but the music, I guess, is stronger.
Hmm.
But you don't sing at all.
I don't. Well, I say that a little bit. Steve Ross, our mutual friend, has gotten me to sing a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't pursued it. I actually surprised myself and enjoyed it. I didn't think I would. And I love great singers. I'm a big fan of great singers.
Uh-huh.
But I haven't pursued it.
I think you should.
Well, you're inspiring me. You're
all
inspiring
right.
me. And
you can start out with Sophisticated Lady. Well, that's a good song. I mean,
it's a great song.
You might as well start at the top. So.
Well, that's true. That's like that old joke about whatever it was, the person who only sang two tunes and it was Lush Life and Happy Birthday or something.
Oh, I remember that joke. No, it wasn't.
How did that joke go?
Let's continue and I'll come back to that. It was Lush Life and I Remember Clifford.
That was it. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. When you were younger, when you were growing up and taking piano lessons, were you singing that whole time? Did you know you wanted to sing? No.
I started out playing piano, and the singing came when I came to New York City. Because I took piano lessons, and I was so anxious to learn to play the piano. I had such good influences with jazz, you know. I used to listen to Errol Garner, and when I first came to New York, he was the first influence. Listen to all the jazz musicians, and I wanted to play like them. But I've never been able to play choruses and improvise like a jazz musician. Mm. I just play songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I should leave that to the males, you know, to do that. As something, playing choruses, I think it's very masculine.
Oh, that's interesting.
I think it is.
In what way? Why do you say that?
It seems that the men do that so well. And there are very few women beside yourself, Marion McPartland,
mm-hmm.
and Mary Lou Williams.
Oh, she was wonderful.
That can play choruses, that improvising. It seems to be more men mm-hmm. are, and Monty Alexander, who was just here, he's
yeah.
fantastic. They do that. They improvise more so than women do. I'll leave that to the fellas.
That's interesting.
Because we have to give them something, you know. Some credit for something.
Well, did you take voice lessons?
Yes, but voice lessons are not like piano lessons.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think voice lessons, you just go for half a dozen lessons, and that's about all. Unless you're a classical singer, you know.
Mm-hmm. But the kind of voice lessons you had, were they for just strengthening the voice or learning how to sing, or did you...
Sing in tune, and the vowels, the regular things that... Just you go up the scale and down, so you sing in tune. That's very important.
Mm-hmm.
And learn to breathe properly. And that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's one of the other things that I love about your work is the main thing, of course, is the emotion. But that your diction, your phrasing, everything is so perfect. And so many singers that I listen to, I have no idea what they're singing.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, that's because I come from upstate New York. And our diction is just wonderful up there.
Is that what it is?
That's what it is.
Blossom Deary on Bluesette from her CD Blossom's Planet. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. When you put ideas together for the tunes that you're going to sing or play, do you try them lots of different ways? Do you just kind of come at it and think, I want to do this differently than it's ever been done? How do you focus
no.
on that?
It just seems to fall in place.
Mm.
It's just how I approach the song. If I hear it, sometimes I hear songs and I think that that's not the right interpretation. Like Surrey with the Fringe on Top.
Mm.
I sing that slow and as a kind of a ballad because the words conjure up a nice image of a country scene, which I'm very fond of. And most jazz musicians and singers, they play it too fast and it's all, you know, like... Let it swing and hear it. And I don't get that feeling from that song at all.
Mm.
And the Broadway interpretation of the baritone with the big, beautiful baritone voice singing that, it seems ludicrous to me, singing chicks and ducks and geese and shouting, you know.
Uh-huh.
So I have my own interpretation of how songs should, the proper way.
Chicks and ducks and geese better scurry when I take you out in the Surrey. When I take you out in the Surrey with the fringe on top, watch that fringe and see how it flutters. When I drive them high step and strutters, nosy pokes'll peek through the shutters and their eyes will pop. The wheels are yellow, the upholstery's brown, the dashboard's genuine leather. With eyes and glass curtains you can roll right down in case there's a change in the weather. Two bright side lights winking and blinking, ain't no finer rig I'm a thinking. You can keep your rig if you're thinking that I'd care to swap for that shiny little Surrey with a fringe on the top.
Now, what about living in France?
Well, I love Paris. God, who doesn't? Isn't that wonderful? Have you been to Paris?
I have.
And the jazz scene was always great over there. I remember, and New Orleans. I think they like jazz because of the name New Orleans, too. And then bebop. They love bebop, and they have wonderful musicians and singers over there. Charles Trenet.
You were there for?
I was there 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I worked all the time in little clubs, American clubs, and heard some wonderful French songs, and I heard a song that Michel Legrand wrote, and the French title was La Valse des Lilas, and I love the melody. And that's on that early Verve CD. And I brought it back, played it for Johnny Mercer, and he wrote the English words, and the title is Once Upon a Summertime.
It's
and
so
it
beautiful.
Is a beautiful song.
Oh.
And I still get requests for that.
Mm.
I haven't sung it in a long time. I have to sort of relearn it. That is just a super song.
Mm-hmm.
Once upon a summertime, if you recall, we stopped beside a little flower stall. A bunch of bright forget-me-nots was all I'd let you buy me. Once upon a summertime, just like today, we laughed the happy afternoon away and stole a kiss in every street cafe. You were sweeter than the blossoms on the tree. I was as proud as any girl could be, as if the mayor had offered me the key to Paris. Now another winter time has come and gone. The pigeons feeding in the square have flown, but I remember when the vespers chime, you loved me once upon a summer time.
Michel is just, I think he's just the top of songwriters,
mm-hmm.
You know? He and Yvon Linz, to me, are the two top songwriters.
Why?
They're both such fantastic musicians.
Mm, such beautiful melodies.
Yes, well, Michel is a classical musician, so he has all of that to work from.
Mm.
The Windmills of Your Mind,
mm-hmm.
That's quite a complicated melody. You'd have to be a classical musician to write a melody like that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think so?
I think so, too. All that music in Thomas Crown Affair, when that movie came out, I remember everybody talked about the style of Steve McQueen and Faye Dunaway, but it was the music to me that made that movie. That whole score was so beautiful.
Oh, he's just tremendous.
Mm.
He's such a super musician.
Mm-hmm.
And Yvon Linz, another super, super musician. And the Brazilian music, we sort of fall back on Brazilian music because they are still listening to melodies. And my Portuguese friends tell me that the songs have wonderful lyrics.
Mm.
They're very, you know, very good high kind of lyrics in the songs. The melodies and the rhythm, forget it.
Yeah. Oh, it's a whole different thing.
But I mean, we can fall back on that if we're discouraged with music now. Because I used to learn songs from Broadway and films.
Mm.
And I can't think of anything lately. Can you?
No, that you'd want to learn from a movie?
Mm-hmm. No. How about Broadway?
No.
I haven't heard anything, and I wish somebody would come up to me and say, Blossom, you know, here's a terrific song. I hope I have something to look forward to.
Mm.
Somebody come to me and say, this is great.
Yeah.
From Broadway or something from a film.
No, you don't. That's why I was so delighted when they did that Down with Love, because they did it in a very retro style. That was a movie that was supposed to be a Rock Hudson, Doris Day kind of movie. So they put this music in, but they were using music from another time. It wasn't something contemporary where you're thinking, here's a song that I want to learn. And I know what you mean, because I think of that too. I think it would be fun. I was talking to someone about a project of doing movie tunes now.
Yeah.
And you're challenged. It isn't like it was at another time when you could think of lots of pieces that you'd want to learn. What about the French sensibility about the music was different? Did they appreciate the music in a different way than Americans did at the time, or did you notice any difference? Did it seem any different?
No.
Not
they
really.
Don't appreciate it any more than the Americans, but they have a love for songs and songwriters. It seems they've always had a songwriter like Charles Trenet, who have written the melodies and the lyrics, and they have their own world. And so the French people are always talking about their songwriters.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes, like our Cole Porter, and they Henri Salvador.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. He's had hit songs for many, many decades and just writes one hit song after another. He writes the melody and the words. They've always had that feeling for songwriters.
Now that's interesting. I didn't know that.
And, of course, jazz comes from this country, so they love that.
Right. Do you think that the appreciation is any different in any of the other places that you go? Because you played a lot in England.
Oh, England, of course. Wonderful.
Yeah, how do you feel?
Oh, well, the words, you know, they appreciate the words so much more. And the French would be a different language, but the words in England,
they love all these tunes that you do. That's why I'm thinking, because the lyrics are so important to you. I think of the clever, the funny tunes.
Oh, they
the other
love
ones,
they because they have so many clever songwriters and shows, and they're used to that wit, you know, comedy.
I love
that's the
you.
Highest form of comedy, I think, is the British.
Yeah, well, so subtle, and then their turn of phrase, and I love your interpretations of Dave Frischberg tunes. I've heard you do a lot of Dave Frischberg, because he's not a youngster, but he's somebody that's writing now.
That's, I hope he is. I haven't heard anything lately.
Yeah, well, I hope he is, too.
Yeah.
But Dave, are you out there?
He lives in Portland.
Maybe too much rain.
Yeah.
We hope that he's
He's looking at Mount Hood and not at the piano.
Exactly.
My next song's called I'm Hip, and this is the most requested song in my repertoire. Bob Dureau wrote the music, and Dave Frischberg wrote the words. The ever-popular I'm Hip. I'm hip, I'm square, I'm alert, I'm awake, I'm aware. I'm on top of every scene, making the rounds, digging the sounds. I read People magazine, 'cause I'm hip. I'm dig, I'm step. When it was hip to be hip, I was hip. I don't blow, but I'm a fan. Look at me swing, ring-a-ding-ding. I even call my girlfriend man. I'm so hip. Every Saturday night, with my suit buttoned tight and my suede on, I'm getting my kicks, digging arty French flicks with my shades on. 'Cause I'm too much, I'm a gas. I am anything but middle class. When I hang around the band, popping my thumbs, digging the drums. Squares don't seem to understand why I flip. They're not hip like I'm hip. I'm hip, I'm alive. I enjoy any joint where there's jive. I'm on top of every trend. Look at me go, vo-de-o-do. Sammy Davis knows my friend. I'm so hip. I'm hip, but not weird. Like you notice, I don't wear a beard. Beards were in, but now they're out. They had their day, now they're passé. Just ask me if you're in doubt, 'cause I'm hip. Now I'm deep into Zen, meditation, and macrobiotics. And as soon as I can, I intend to get into narcotics. 'Cause I'm cool as a cuke. I'm a cat, I'm a card, I'm a kook. I get so much out of life. Really I do, scooba-doo-boo. One more time, play Mac the Knife. Let her rip, I may flip, but I'm hip.
What of the women singers did you listen to when you were growing up?
Everybody. But really? Ella Fitzgerald, of course, I think stands out as the supreme jazz singer.
And really inspired you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I listen, and then Sarah Vaughan, too. Mm-hmm. And I think they were it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
April in Paris, chestnuts in blossom, holiday tables under the tree. April in Paris, whom can I run to? What have you done to my heart?
Especially Ella Fitzgerald.
Why Ella?
My God, she sang everything and so well. She could sing songs that were kind of out and out jazz. Well, she could improvise too. And ballads, my goodness. She was just wonderful. I mean, she could sing April in Paris or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just the right interpretation. Well, don't you think so?
I think so. Yeah, and you always feel that she's so happy she's got that great voice. That joy comes through you just while she's singing. She's as happy as we are.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds funny, but you know what
That's
I mean?
That's true.
It always comes through that I've got this great
world
instrument,
on a string,
and I'm going to share it. We're all going to have a fun ride.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I get from Ella.
Well, she was such a good musician, and she could improvise and sing those boop dooby doo boop, those things, and it came out wonderfully well. A lot of people do that, and I just cringe.
Yeah,
I really don't like scat singing, but there's one exception. Well, Ella did it a little bit, but the one exception, and that was Dizzy Gillespie.
Mm-hmm.
Now he could do the scat singing, and that's it right there. But anybody else, I'm really not interested.
You talk about being a musician. You think of yourself as a musician first and
Absolutely.
A singer second, if you had
and
to do that.
And a singer second, yes.
Yeah. And do you think that's one of the things that makes your interpretations, it sounds so funny, but your interpretations so musical?
Of course.
Yeah. Because I think of the great piano playing, singing performers, you know, the Nat Coles, the people that did both. And even Sarah Vaughan played piano.
Stevie Wonder.
Yeah. Oh, Stevie Wonder,
mm-hmm.
of course.
If we talk about male singer Stevie Wonder, and he plays And he writes songs, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And Nat Cole, gosh, he was marvelous, wasn't he?
Mm.
My goodness. And he could sing ballads like nobody else. I mean, he could sing ballads. My goodness. He was marvelous.
Well, you grew up hearing his piano playing before
yes.
he even became a super
famous
singer.
I grew up hearing all of these
singer.
Giants.
Yeah.
And what about you?
Yeah, well, I first heard Nat Cole singing
yep.
on record and then heard the piano playing. Because older friends of mine would say, well, you've got to hear him play piano.
Uh-huh.
And then I didn't care about the singing. All I wanted to hear was the piano
oh.
playing. I was so crazy about the piano playing. I mean, the singing was fabulous. But his piano playing on the
yeah.
different recordings and those Jazz at the Philharmonic things just drive me wild.
Oh, yeah. Thank goodness for Norman Granz.
Nat King Cole on I Found a New Baby from Jazz at the Philharmonic. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. Our show is made possible in part with generous support from Steinway & Sons. For a schedule of upcoming programs, visit our website at jazzinspired.com. You can listen to podcasts of Jazz Inspired on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And email us at info@jazzinspired.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter at Stride Queen. To find out more about my recordings, my music books, and memoir, and to sign up for our email newsletter, visit judycarmichael.com. Additional support for Jazz Inspired is provided by Jazz Times Magazine, providing entertaining and provocative coverage of the jazz scene since 1970. On the web at jazztimes.com. As part of our 20th anniversary celebration, we're revisiting some of my favorite interviews. Today, my 2004 conversation with Blossom Dearey. Any male singers when you were younger that really stood out to you?
I mean, if we start out with Frank Sinatra and Nat Cole, now where do we go from there?
You didn't need anyone else.
Mm. And now, are there male singers that you... I think Al Jarreau was the... only male singer I can think of,
mm-hmm.
and Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned Stevie Wonder. I saw a concert once, a tribute to Basie, and different people came out did duets or did different things, but the one that stood out to me the most was Stevie Wonder.
Mm-hmm.
They had two pianos, and the two of them played together. And it was a great experience for me because I was pretty young in my early 20s, and I only knew Stevie Wonder in a certain direction, in more of the what I thought of as pop direction. And to see him here with Count Basie, mm-hmm. doing a full-on jazz thing and singing and playing piano with Basie, it was an incredible, incredible experience.
Oh, sure. I can imagine he would fit right in there.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, he did, because they had a wide range of musicians that tried to fit in,
mm-hmm.
but didn't necessarily, you know, different pop people.
Yeah.
And Stevie Wonder, it was completely natural. So
oh,
I love
sure.
you mentioning him as a jazz guy, because a lot
oh,
of people
he
don't.
Encompasses, I think, that the whole world of music, you know.
Absolutely.
I can't think of any jazz. I don't hear jazz singers anymore, do you, besides Stevie Wonder? What about female jazz singers? Natalie Cole is a jazz singer. She
mm-hmm.
doesn't. She has other avenues, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She does pop and this and that, but she can. But who else?
I like it when she sings jazz.
I do,
she
too.
Just does the straight-ahead jazz
thing. I like that
thing.
Album she made. Johnny Mandel did the arrangements, and that was marvelous.
Mm-hmm.
Those wonderful songs. And
yeah, there aren't people.
I can't think of any jazz singers, I mean, up there, you know.
Yeah, that we really think of as great jazz singers.
Mm-hmm.
No, people. There's a lot of people who call themselves jazz singers now.
Well, a lot of people are jazz singers.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean somebody that really is a star.
Right.
I can't think of anybody, a female.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can, but...
No, not that. There aren't a lot of the newer singers that I'm anxious to go hear. You know, that's why I say, like, I'm always thrilled to hear you. There's some of the ones that have been my favorites for years. I was fortunate when I was younger that I got to spend some time with Sarah Vaughan. She was one of the first people in the business I met.
Mm-hmm.
So I heard her a lot.
And you know, Carmen McRae.
And Carmen McRae was another one, yeah, who was great. And
well,
another
what
piano
about
player.
Diana Reeves?
Yeah, there's...
She's also a jazz singer.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've taken jazz, and it's a spin-off, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. I'm crazy about Mariah Carey.
Oh, really?
And I believe that she is a jazz musician, too. And it came from jazz, what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And she writes songs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She writes the melodies. She's tremendously talented.
Mm-hmm. Some of these people on some of the duet albums, it's been interesting because I heard Sheryl Crow do a duet with Tony Bennett. And I was stunned because I didn't know who it was. I thought,
mm-hmm.
well, that's really interesting. That's jazzy. And it sounds like a new jazz singer, and it was Sheryl Crow. And I wasn't really familiar with her music. I just knew her as a pop singer. And
I don't know her name.
Yeah.
But I don't think of Tony Bennett as a jazz singer.
That's funny. You know, I have read that
he's a ballad singer.
But what he considers one of his biggest influences is Art Tatum. Isn't that interesting? I read that.
Well, it is.
Doesn't mean it's true, but...
Because he doesn't play piano.
Yeah. but he considers that was an influence on his music.
On his musical,
yeah.
Sure.
Which is interesting.
Well, Tony Bennett is a wonderful, my God, he's a magnificent singer.
Mm.
I never thought of him as a jazz singer.
Now, what?
No.
How do you define a jazz singer?
Oh, more of the rhythmic quality.
Mm.
He's a ballad singer.
Mm.
Good morning, honey. You all gloomy sigh. Good morning, honey. Thought we said goodbye last night. I tossed and turned until it seemed you had gone. But here you are with the dawn.
Wish I'd forget you, but you're here to stay. It seems I met you when my love went away. Now every day I start by saying to you, good morning, heartache, what's new?
Stop haunting me now. I
see, I've got those Monday blues, straight through Sunday blues.
Good morning, heartache. Here we go again.
Good morning, heartache. You're the one who knew me when. Morning, heartache, sit down.
Sit down.
Sheryl Crow and Tony Bennett on Good Morning, Heartache. You also have a music book, which I think
is
great.
And
talk
I don't have any more.
But you're going to be reprinting that, and that'll be available on your website.
On my website, mm-hmm. which is daffodilrecords.com. It's also blossomdeary.com. And my CDs are available if anyone wants to get on this website.
And you've been doing this for a long time.
Since the 70s.
I was going to say, because that was not something that everybody was doing when you started producing your own CDs.
Well, Marion McPartland gave mm-hmm. me the idea. She said, Blossom, you know, you can make a master, and then you can take it around and see if you can somebody is interested. So I made a master in London, and I didn't take it around. I just looked in my address book. And I sent out postcards, and I said, I have an album. And people bought it, and I went on to the second one, and I'm up to 19 now. But I wrote some songs on those, and my latest one is a collection of my melodies with various lyric writers.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yeah.
That had to be a fun project.
Yes, well, that's just a compilation, mm-hmm. you know, putting them all together.
Mm-hmm.
But I've written with Johnny Mercer and Jack Siegel and Linda Albert, whose real name is Mariah Blackwolf. And I was just thinking of another singer, Houston.
Oh, Whitney Houston?
She's a fantastic singer.
Mm-hmm.
Whitney Houston and Mariah Carey, my God, they are giants.
Mm-hmm.
And they can certainly sing jazz because they take it above that.
Mm-hmm.
They've gone from that. And gospel, too.
Mm-hmm.
They've branched out. They're just giants, I think.
I wish they would record a jazz album. I mean, that's selfish,
yeah.
I'm saying, because it would reach a lot of...
Who would they get to write the arrangements?
Well, one of the people we like, obviously.
They will.
No, but I was thinking that I only say that because I know that then it will reach a lot of ears it wouldn't reach otherwise. Because these are people that are already fans of Mariah Carey.
But they could just sing some jazz songs.
Yeah, exactly.
In their own interpretation.
Mm-hmm. 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 Which I think is great. And younger people are more open to that sort of thing because they have everything at their disposal. They
yes.
get all the different styles so easily.
I'll say.
They can mix it all up. But I'm fascinated. So you did this in terms of producing your own recordings. Marion gave you this idea, but then you kept doing it because it was...
I kept doing it. I just
because
kept
you had
going.
The control and it was something you could do whatever you wanted. You didn't have to deal with a record company. It was just a better way to do it.
Well, people say that. I've read that in reviews that Blossom started because she wanted to control her.
I'm asking,
that's not
I don't
right.
know.
No. I never even thought of that.
Interesting.
I just got started and went straight ahead.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, you didn't have to. I only say it, I know for myself I did the same thing, and it was an easy way to do it, in a way, because you just get to go in and do what you want. I mean, Norman Grant's let you do what you wanted,
mm-hmm.
but now you might be dealing with a producer.
And you
who
can
would
sell
say,
them when you work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the place when people are there in a mm-hmm. club, and they hear a song and they say, where can I get that? Well, it's right here.
Mm-hmm.
So I sell them when I'm working at Danny's.
Mm-hmm.
I want to tell everybody I'm alive and well.
Talk about Danny's. That's a really special place.
It is.
You're in New York.
Mm-hmm. It's on West 46th Street.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bar in front and a restaurant in front. And it's a very wonderful Thai restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
The food is marvelous. Then you walk past the bar, and in the back, there's a little room, a space back there, which is called the cabaret room. And a lot of people work back there. And I work back there on weekends, on Saturdays and Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
And I do a show at 7 on Saturday and 6:15 on Sunday. It's a nice time.
It is a nice time.
Mm-hmm. Sunday is kind of mellow at 6:15, and then people... A lot of them have dinner after the show.
Mm-hmm. I love early shows. I performed in Portugal years ago, and I thought it was terribly civilized because all the concerts were either at 6 or 9.
Mm-hmm.
So you could either
So they
have...
took a nap in between.
You had time for a nice dinner afterwards, or you had time for a leisurely dinner before.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't at 8 o'clock right in the middle of things. Mm-hmm. I thought that was great. And I don't know if this is true. I know that when I've seen you, I've read this, and you can tell me if this is true, and I've also, a number of times that I've seen you perform it, it has been on the early side. Is that something that you've tried to make happen when you've worked in clubs? Do you like
Yes.
work?
Mm-hmm.
I think
I have
great.
Worked late, you know, in the old days, but it seems like the shows are getting this side of 12 o'clock now.
People don't want to be out as late.
No, we used to work, you know, 2 and 3 in the morning. It's not like that anymore.
No.
And 6 o'clock, people can come, or 7, they come from the office and go right to hear the show.
Mm.
It's a good time to catch people, and they want to go home at night, you know. And I call it my club, there's a parking lot across the street so people can drive in, and that's a big asset.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
And you still live here in New York, but you also have a place in the country as well.
With where my record company is.
Mm-hmm. This is great. And are you working on something now?
Yes, I am. I'm trying to write some new melodies and get another CD out.
Mm-hmm.
But the last one is the compilation of all my melodies, which I like very much.
And what's the name of that CD?
That's called Blossom's Own Treasures.
Aw, I like that.
I do, too. And I really adore the first Verve.
That's a great
album.
CD.
That's a great CD.
That's got lots of fun stuff.
I listen to those songs, and Ray Brown, and I'm trying to think, Ed Thigpen, yes, and Joe Jones was on some of these, and the songs were just marvelous, and I don't know, I can't do better than that, really.
When I was young, I lived in a world of dreams, of moods and myths and illusionary schemes. Though now I'm much more grown up, I fear that I must own up to the fact that I'm in doubt of what the modern cynics shout of. They say it's spring, this feeling light as a feather. They say this thing, this magic we share together, came with the weather too. They say it's May that's made me daft as a daisy. It's May, they say, that gave the whole world this crazy, heavenly, hazy hue. I'm a lark on the wing, I'm the spark of a firefly's fling. Yet to me, this must be something more than a seasonal thing. Could it be spring? Those bells that I can hear ringing, it may be spring. But when the robin stops singing, you're what I'm clinging to. Though they say it's spring, it's you. Sing that when a heart's sympathetic, it's merely spring. Then poets' plights are pathetic, though I'm poetic too. They say it's spring, for lovers there's where the lure is. That evil thing for which September the cure is, this they are sure is true. Though I know that it's so, that my fancy may turn in the spring with a right one in sight, one can find a perpetual thing. Did I need spring? to bring the ring that you bought me, though it was spring. That wondrous day that you caught me, darling, I thought we knew that it wasn't spring, 'twas you.
I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired.
What's your most requested tune?
Well, at the club now, people like Rhode Island is famous for you. And it has humor in the lyrics. They love mm-hmm. that. And then Bruce, that's very funny. And that's by John Wallowich,
mm-hmm.
my friend John Wallowich. And My Attorney Bernie, a lot of people like that. I played that at the White House. We did a concert for Channel 13. Well, not Channel 13, but WNET,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
a contributing channel,
right.
TV. And I played that, and when I met Bill Clinton, he remarked he liked that song. He said, I want to play it for the council for the White House for Bernie Nussbaum at the time. Attorney Bernie, I'm impressed with his influential friends. He's got very big connections, and I follow his directions. Bernie knows his way round, and so I always do what Bernie recommends. I'm blessed with my attorney Bernie. I'm impressed with the way he runs the store. He's got Dodger season boxes and an office full of foxes. It's amazing all the different things your average girl might need a lawyer for. Bernie tells me what to do. Bernie lays it on the line. Bernie says we sue, we sue. Bernie says we sign. We sign. I'm in touch with my attorney Bernie. In a clutch, he can speed right to the scene. And if I'm locked up in the jail with just one phone call for my bail, he said to call his club collect or deal directly with his answering machine. When I dine with my attorney Bernie, he buys wine from the rare imported rack. That's 'cause Bernie is a purist, not your polyester tourist. Bernie waves the glass around a while, then takes a sip and always sends it back. Bernie tells me what to do. Bernie lays it on the line. Bernie says we sue, we sue. Bernie says we sign. We sign. It's a great place to perform.
Is
the
it,
feeling
was
marvelous.
Was it?
We, you know, when we got there, it's not the same for everybody, I'm sure.
Mm.
But being entertainers, I think the atmosphere was very relaxed.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, we weren't a threat to anyone.
Yeah.
You know.
We're the best kind of policy to spread around.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
can't.
Right. And you go through a kind of a turnstile, and that has everything in it. Radiation or whatever, it's all there. So if there's anything on you, you know, you can't get past that. So once you get past that, you're home free. And everybody was so pleasant. And, I don't know, they treated us so well. And someone said, do you want anything? And I said, do you have any herb tea here? Because I do like herb tea before I sing. And in 20 minutes, they came back and said, no herb tea. No herb tea at the White House.
That's hard to believe.
That is hard to believe. They went to the kitchen, and I said, well, I have some herb tea in the hotel, which is two blocks from here. So a friend of mine was there, And they sent him home for the herb tea. And do you know, they sent him out the front door. And he came back in. I guess he came in. I don't know if he came in the front door, but he went out the front door of the White House to get the herb tea. And he came back. I guess he went through the turnstile again. But
Well, the Clinton White House was a pretty caffeinated White House. They weren't herb types, I guess.
No. I guess not.
Blossom, this has been great. I'm so glad you took the time to do this.
Thank you. It's nice to come and chat with a female and about the music world.
I know. We women have to stick together.
We
there
do.
Aren't enough of us in the business.
You said it. No, this is a... The jazz world is definitely a masculine world.
It is. It
mm-hmm.
is.
What makes it different from Broadway.
Mm-hmm. Did you think about that? Was with that an ever-present thing that you were conscious of coming up in this world?
Yes.
Yeah. Did that make it harder, do you think?
No.
No, it made it better?
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting. In what way?
It's easier when I think of it as a masculine art form. Because I feel sort of safe.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Safe in what way?
Well, I don't feel like I'm competing with anyone. Because I'm a woman. And I think that, as I said before, the men, they can play the choruses. You know, I criticize men all the time. I don't think they're very good human beings. I mean, basically, because of wars. They love wars, mm-hmm. you know. So I blame men for a lot of things. But I will take my hat off to jazz. And the improvising, I leave that to the men, you know.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I really have great respect for them. It's a masculine art form.
I love that you say that you actually felt safe and that it was easier in a way, because I felt that when all the women, when I was coming up in the early years and everybody would say, oh, it's much harder for us, everybody was very negative. And I found that once you played, and if the guys were serious about the music, they were very supportive.
That's right.
And so all my support, especially in the early years, because I didn't know any women musicians,
yeah.
were men.
From men.
They
sure.
were men. And
they're
then,
very supportive.
And then a couple women singers, Carmen McRae and Sarah Vaughan, were mm-hmm. big supporters of mine, but otherwise there weren't. And both piano players, mm-hmm. I might add.
That's right.
Piano playing, singing.
There's no
musicians.
Competition for the men. I mean, that's their art form, the jazz.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. I love this. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Blossom.
Okay.
I've had a great time.
Okie dokie.
You've been listening to my conversation with Blossom Dearie. I hope you'll join me here next time when I talk with another celebrated creative person about how jazz has inspired their life and work. I'm Judy Carmichael, the host and producer of Jazz Inspired. My production engineer is Curtis Heidoff. You can download podcasts of Jazz Inspired from iTunes or at talkshoe.com. Our opening music was Airmail Special, and the mid-break music is a smooth one from my CD, High on Fats and Other Stuff. The closing music is Old Fashioned Love from my CD Trio. I'm on piano with Mike Hashem on sax and Chris Florey on guitar. Judy Carmichael's Jazz Inspired is made possible with generous support from our listeners and from Steinway & Sons and from Sag Harbor Florist. Visit sagharborflorist.net. For a schedule of upcoming programs, to sign up for our email newsletter, or to find out how you can personally support Jazz Inspired, visit our website at jazzinspired.com. You can email us at info@jazzinspired.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter at Stride Queen. For more information, visit judycarmichael.com or jazzinspired.com.